Welcome back. It's the Morning Hookup on ESPN Lincoln FM 101.5, 1480 AM. I'm Will Wilson. I'm with you today and for the rest of the week. Bill Hooks is in Arizona taking some time off. Well, he's not actually taking time off. He's working, actually. It's, you know, all that other work stuff he does. They're doing some work down in Arizona. So he's there for the week. I'm with you all of this week. I forgot to reach out to some people to come and do the show with me. So that's why I'm here alone. But I don't mind it. Reps. That's what they call this. Just getting these reps. You know how it is. I will be joined by some more individuals throughout the week. Coming up this hour, we will have what's trending at 10. We'll talk Nebraska ball around 9:20 as they are on a bit of a losing streak now after losing to Indiana on Saturday up in Bloomington. So it's a tough place to play. And Indiana looks okay. I'm not going to say they look great, but I just think that was a classic, you know, okay Nebraska team going into a place like Bloomington. That's how stuff like that usually goes. But we'll get to that around 10:20, excuse me, and 10:40. We'll talk coaching carousel. More stuff is heating up. Looks like Miami just fired their coach, and Mario Cristobal is packing his bags from Eugene and heading down to Miami. So we'll get to that around 10:45. And also, Oklahoma hired their new coach. We'll get to that as well. But right now, it's 10 o'clock. Every day at 10 o'clock, we do What's Trending at 10.
Manziel will be cut at the end of the year.
Do you think that Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
New fallout from the Astros cheating scandal, with some Astros players taking heat for how they're apologizing for the cheating. Oh, what's
going on? Here's what's trending at 10.
Okay, let's start out with this. This was very surprising news that we got last Friday. Mark Turgeon, head coach for Maryland basketball, is out. They parted ways, and the school announced. I don't know what the situation is. We all know how good a coach, well, I think Mark Turgeon is a good coach. It seems like there's some people out there that I think Maryland wasn't really the right spot for him, even though he's been taking that team to the tournament almost every single year. So it just, this doesn't really add up to me. We know he's a hell of a recruiter. I'm trying to think why they did this. The first part, when I saw this news, the first thing that came to my mind was, what did he do? I mean, is he in trouble? Did he do something wrong? What's the deal? We don't know. We haven't heard anything of any wrongdoing by Turgeon. I do know that they did have solid expectations coming into this year. I think they were ranked to start this season. And they've lost, I think, 3 games now. They're not ranked. They're, I guess, not living up to the expectations. So maybe that's why they fired him. But I still find this very surprising. He's been at the Sweet 16. He's been there for 10 years. We'll see where Mark Turgeon goes. We know he has connections here to Lincoln. I'm not saying he's coming here. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, you know, this is interesting because we know he has connections here. Danny Manning, by the way, is Maryland's head coach now. He was their assistant, so he's now their head coach, which is pretty cool. I can't wait to talk to Henry on Thursday because he played against Danny when Danny was at Kansas. So that's pretty cool. Good for Danny, though, to get a head coaching gig at Maryland. We'll see what happens with Turgeon. I don't know if you agree with me, but I find this very surprising. I'm very curious to see what comes out here the next few weeks, because this is sudden, it's early, he has a good resume at Maryland. This just doesn't really add up to me, unless they were really ready for Manning to, you know, be their coach. So I will keep you updated on that situation throughout the week. Moving on, looks like the NCAA has a problem on their hands. The problem is they have too many bowl-eligible teams. So what did they have to do? Well, on a 3 weeks' notice, they had to create 3 new bowl games just out of the blue. Oh, we have too many teams. Okay, we got to create 3 new bowl games. Find the sponsors, find the venue. We just got to make 3 bowl games. I'm curious to know how they get to that point. surprised they're not planning for having, you know, too many bowl eligible teams. There's 82 spots and there's 84 bowl eligible teams. So I guess they have to do one more game, or maybe a few more. It's just interesting. I didn't know they would ever get to that point. I'm sure they would have thought that there's a chance to have more bowl eligible teams. I always thought they'd just kind of punch out teams that didn't quite have, you know, the winning percentage or whatever. That I'm surprised they don't keep the 82 as what it is. And I'm surprised they take more teams than they already have. That's interesting. But bowl games are set, I believe. I think the full bowl game schedule is out. But obviously we don't care because Nebraska is not in a bowl game for, what, 5 years in a row now? 6 years in a row? Next up, talking MLB. And we know we're in a lockout now. It's done. It's going. We don't know when this is going to end. But it looks like Justin Verlander kind of got screwed by the lockout. He was set to make $50 million for 2 years with the Astros, with an opt-out. Okay, this is the deal that he was going to be signing. But then apparently the lockout hit, and Verlander and the Astros didn't finalize the deal. So the deal is not made, and Verlander is going to have to wait a little bit longer. I still find this signing interesting. If you remember about a month ago, we mentioned on the show that during the playoffs, the Astros front office wanted Verlander to throw out the first pitch. Verlander was hurt. He was not playing, and they wanted him to throw out the pitch for some reason. But apparently the players in the clubhouse didn't like that idea. They said, no, don't do that. They pushed back against it. Why? I don't know. Clearly, they have something against Verlander throwing out the first pitch. To me, that seemed like it wasn't a good chemistry, you know, between Verlander and the team. So I didn't think Verlander was going to be back with the Astros, but apparently they're working on it. And I just, I don't know. I don't see this going well. It's not like Verlander can stay healthy either. I mean, he is hurt every single year, and you're set to give him 25 a year. I don't know. I don't see it. But I mean, good luck to the Astros. You can make that mistake. Moving on, more baseball. So we have some Hall of Fame inductees, and this is coming from the Eras Committee. This isn't the Hall of Fame where people vote. You know, they get the paper, they fill out the boxes, and they send it in. No, that's not what this is. This is from the Eras Committee, and we have six new Hall of Famers, including Buck O'Neill, who, you know, obviously we have a lot of Kansas City Royals fans here in the state, and I know for years people have been pushing to get Buck O'Neill into the Hall of Fame, and it finally happened. He got inducted yesterday. Obvious legend in the baseball world. You know, if you pay attention to baseball or know baseball, you know who Buck O'Neill is. So that's pretty cool that Buck is finally getting into the Hall of Fame. Bud Fowler was also voted in. Tony Oliva, man, you know me. These baseball players are way out of my time, so sorry if I'm botching any of these names. But there we go. We have the first inductees into the Hall of Fame. We are still waiting on the official Hall of Fame induction. I know people are filling out their ballots right now, and here in a few weeks we're probably going to get some new inductees. Does Bonds get in? Does Schilling get in? It's going to be a fun few weeks. This is going to be a fun Hall of Fame. So coming up, or actually right now, a few more stories left here on what's trending. Coming up, we will be talking to basketball, and we will be talking the coaching carousel. And also, we're going to be talking NFL, too. We'll recap the weekend of what you saw in the NFL. But this is just insane. I want to bring this up real quick. So Derrick Henry, we know how long he's been out. I think it's been, what, 4 weeks now, maybe five. And I know they're saying he could be back for the postseason, but we know how good a year he was having before he got hurt. When he got hurt, he had 937 rushing yards. Right now, like today, that is still second in the NFL. He was, I think he was clearly first when he got hurt, and he is still only second with 937 yards. That is incredible. If you're wondering who's ahead of him, it's Jonathan Taylor. He was having a hell of a year. He was already up over 1,200 yards on the season, Jonathan Taylor is. But still, that's incredible. That shows how good a running back Derrick Henry is. He is still second in the NFL in rushing yards, even though he's been out for 5 weeks. It's just incredible. And the last thing I got, it looks like Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger, is going to be done after the season. According to Adam Schefter, he has been telling people in the locker room that this will be his final season. And I think you and me both are thinking the same thing. Why is this happening just now? This should have been announced earlier, should have been announced probably before last season. I'm very surprised Big Ben is still playing. You know, Steelers are not having a bad season. I guess maybe it's kind of immature to me to be saying that with the record they have. But we've seen Big Ben move out on that football field. And I think a sloth could move faster than Big Ben. So it looks like Ben is going to be done after this. The Big Ben farewell tour begins now. And, you know, but of course, I think anything can happen. Things have changed. Schefter has been wrong before. Who, by the way, there's a lot of slander going on with Adam Schefter. Ever since that story came out about him letting people, you know, rearrange their stories, you know, people have kind of lost respect for Schefty. It's kind of funny. And I think I read that it's going to be affecting his upcoming contract, because his contract for ESPN is up here in, I think, this year. So that's interesting. We all know Schefter, though. He'll get his money. So that's what's trending at 10. We have Adam Rittenberg reporting right now that Mario Cristobal is meeting with Oregon players now. So it looks like Cristobal is officially going to be going to Miami. That's what it looks like right now. We're going to be talking coaching carousel later in the show. Before we take a break, I do want to recap some of the NFL that happened over the weekend. Let me just start off with it, and I know all of you read about it. I'm honestly not surprised at all. The Vikings will play any team close, doesn't matter who it is. It's like they enjoy it. It's like they enjoy playing close games. That's what it seems like to me. But the Vikings go out and they lose to Detroit yesterday. The winless Detroit Lions beat the Vikings. Incredible. I am very surprised that we haven't heard anything out of Minnesota yet today. I mean, if you're a GM, let me ask you this right now. If you're a GM of a team that's 5-6, you don't have a winning record, you are right there in the wild card. In fact, you're playing for the wild card. And you go out and you lose to a team that hasn't won a single game. What are you doing as the GM? You're firing that coach, right? Well, I should also mention that this is a coach that's been with the franchise for at least 6 years now. You're firing him, right? I think I would. You're losing to the Lions, for God's sake. A division game. You can't get up for the Lions. The Vikings, you can't. Listen, I've been mad about the Vikings this whole year. They're 7 points. I believe they've had a 7-point lead in every single game. And they've lost 7 games. It's incredible. It really is incredible that a team could do that. And they just lose to the Lions. The season's dead, I think, even though, you know, they could still make a run to a wild card. But you're losing to the Lions. Everything is bad. You're just, now you're the laughing stock of the NFL because you just lost to the Lions. The Lions were the laughing stock. Now you are the Vikings. Goodbye, Mike Zimmer. I'm over it. All right, moving on. Let's see what else happened. The Chiefs gonna win last night against the Broncos, who kind of kept it close. The Broncos, they were hovering that 10.5 line, but of course they lose by 13, it looks like, and they don't even get over the 10-point hump. You know, Chiefs, it's not the same Chiefs team we're used to watching. You know, the one that went to the Super Bowl. It's just not as explosive as we're used to seeing. I mean, that's why they're putting up these low totals. Now, the good news is the defense is figuring things out. I mean, they're holding teams to, I mean, I think at the first 5 games, I think I heard Michael say last night they were holding opponents to over 30 points, which is just incredible. The defense is figuring things out, which is a good thing. And, you know, if The Chiefs' offense will figure it out at some point. I mean, it could be game to game by them. If you come out, you got a defense there and they're doing their thing, and Mahomes has three, explosive plays, they're going to be fine. Let's see. The Seahawks finally get a win, and I know they're kind of squanching my tanking theory, but hear me out. You can't make tanking noticeable, right? Or else you're going to get in trouble, obviously. So that was a win the Seahawks had to do just to kind of prove that, or kind of disguise the tanking, if you know what I mean. I still think the Seahawks are tanking. They got to go to the Texans next week. So that will be the test. If they lose next week, then I am right. They are definitely tanking. I talked about Big Ben and the Steelers. I mean, they get a one-point win over the Ravens. It's a big win. The Ravens are nobody is going out on the Ravens yet. Nobody has the balls to say that the Ravens are a good team, because let's be real, they have not proven that. I mean, they just went out and lost to the Steelers. And watch, next week they're going to score 40 points. They're week to week. The Ravens are. Let's see who they got next week. They may have a bye week next week. That's right. Oh, so they lose going into the bye week. That's always a good look. Moving on, Washington beats the Raiders in Vegas. Marco picked that game for you, and they won by two. I think the spread was 1.5 at game time. So Washington, they're playing really good. Taylor Heineke's one of the biggest surprises so far this season. Now, I remember towards the end of last season, he played okay. Remember in the that postseason game against the Bucs? It was a close game. It wasn't a blowout. Taylor kind of kept them in that game. He's playing good, and you got to give him a lot of props, too, because they brought in, Fitzpatrick to kind of take his spot. That didn't work out. Heineke's back in. He's playing up to it. I mean, Washington, they're not bad. They are in the playoffs, I believe, right now. They may be in that seventh spot. Jaguars lose to the Rams 37-30. Nothing to talk about there, besides the Rams, finally getting, a win. Chargers, they win by 19 over the Bengals in Cincinnati. Again, Bengals, it's a roller coaster. They play really good. They beat a really good team by a lot, and then the next week they're down. They're going down the roller coaster. It's funny, man. It's a lot of teams like that this year in the NFL. That's why games are so hard to pick. Cardinals beat the Bears 33-22. And even the Cardinals, I think they're number one on a lot of people's teams, but there's other teams that you could put above them. I was thinking about this over the weekend. Is there one team in the NFL that you think is far and above better than every other team? Okay, the Chiefs. No. I could see the Bills beating them again. What about the Bucks? I guess, just because they have Tom Brady. Maybe for me, they're at the top. But there's no clear number one team. Many thought it was going to be the Rams at the beginning of the season. Look what they've done. They have some disappointing losses. It's interesting. There's not one team, to me, that's clear at the top. I mean, maybe here in the next few weeks, one will come out and we'll see it. The Eagles get a big win over the Jets, 33-18. I call that a big win because Gardner Minshew, who played in that game for the Eagles, was absolutely hyped after the game. I don't know if you saw the video, but he walked up to his dad and just gave him the biggest hug. I thought he was going to rip his dad's arm off, too, but that's how jacked he was. But Gardner, he's not going away. He's staying in this league, baby. A few more games to recap. The Dolphins beat the Giants. Colts blow out the Texans. And, of course, we saw the Cowboys beat the Saints on Thursday night. Tonight, you got the Patriots and Bills. What a fun game this is going to be. I mean, obviously, the conference is up to these two teams. And it's Patriots I got tonight. Yeah, I got Patriots winning this one. But it is going to be a good game. I'll take the over in that one as well. We're going to take a quick break. That's your NFL recap and what's trending at 10. I'm Will Wilson. This is The Morning Hookup. Appreciate you tuning in. Bill Hooks is out this week. He will be back next week. Coming up after the break, Nebraska ball lost on Saturday to Indiana. We'll recap that game and what's ahead for Nebraska after this.